Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year at monarch.com with code WEALTH. That's monarch.com, promo code WEALTH.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast. In this episode, we dive into the unsettling case of Jennifer Farber Dulos, who vanished on May 24, 2019. Amidst a divorce and custody battle, her estranged husband, Fotis Dulos, and his partner, Michelle Trokinis, became the center of a shocking conspiracy. Today, we bring you up to the moment coverage from the courtroom as Trokinis faces trial, accused of a role in this presumed murder.
I was promoted to captain. I was the commanding officer of the academy for two classes. Took a year and a half, a short period of time at Western District as the acting commanding officer, and promoted to lieutenant colonel. I've been up at headquarters for the last year and a half.
And briefly, could you describe some of your educational background?
I have a Bachelor of Science degree in engineering from the United States Naval Academy and a Master in Science, Master of Forensic Science from the University of New Haven.
At the University of New Haven, did you specialize in a particular topic?
Part of my education there consisted of research, which I did on blood stain pattern analysis specific to area of origin reconstructions and measurement error, and an independent study relative to conducting blood stain pattern analysis.
What exactly is blood stain pattern analysis?
So blood stain pattern analysis is an examination of the size, shape, distribution of blood stains in order to determine the mechanisms that created them. So it can be used in certain circumstances to determine sequence, origin, position, location, determine a mechanism that created the patterns, support or refute testimony, or eliminate certain circumstances that could not have happened.
Could you explain some of your training and education that you received specific to blood pattern analysis?
Specific to blood stain pattern analysis, I have approximately 600 hours of training. That training consists of two basic courses that I was a co-instructor on, two advanced courses in blood stain pattern analysis, a course in report writing and documentation, an advanced course in fluid dynamics related to blood stain pattern analysis, an advanced course related to fabric, blood stain pattern analysis on fabrics, and a BPA level two course. In addition to that, I'm a member of the International Association of Blood Stain Pattern Analysts. Since 2014, I've attended the last 9 training conferences, which are 4-day conferences related to blood stain analysis and other topics. In addition to that, I have in totality 1,250 hours of training relative to death investigation and crime scene investigation. That includes my bloodstain training.
And with respect to teachings, have you held any teaching positions?
I'm currently an adjunct professor at the University of New Haven and Central Connecticut State University. I've taught for the last 8 years at the University of New Haven, graduate and undergraduate level courses in bloodstain analysis, crime scene investigation, forensic technology, and introduction to forensic science, and an officer-involved shooting course at Central Connecticut State University.
And have you conducted blood pattern analysis before?
Yes.
About how many times?
I've worked on or consulted on approximately 42 cases relative to bloodstain pattern analysis. My experience relative to bloodstain cases is approximately 130 cases. I've written or peer-reviewed reports on bloodstain pattern analysis approximately 25 times.
And was this in your capacity as a Connecticut State Police Trooper?
Yes, ma'am.
And have you testified concerning your results before?
Yes.
About how many times?
4 times.
Have you testified or consulted for the defense before?
I have consulted with defense before.
Okay, and just where was that?
A case out of Michigan.
In May of 2019, were you asked to respond to 69 Wells Lane in New Canaan?
Yes, ma'am.
Who made that request of you?
That was Detective Riley from Western District.
Do you recall what day that call came in?
The 25th of May, 2019.
What did you do?
I responded to the scene approximately 1,300 hours. It's 1 o'clock. Met with the crime scene unit. Got a brief from Detective Riley and the team relative to the case they were working on and the specifics that they were asking that I do, which was to examine blood stains that were located in the garage and on a vehicle that was within the garage at 69 Wells.
And how did you use a blood, can I just call it BPA? Is that okay if I just say BPA, bloodstain pattern analysis?
Fine with me, ma'am.
Okay. How did you use BPA in evaluating the garage that day?
Relative to the garage, in terms of the stains that were located there, a portion of them lent themselves to a reconstruction to determine essentially an origin or an area where a blood source originated from. In addition to that, blood stains on the vehicle also lent themselves to a partial reconstruction relative to the origin of those stains. So in addition to that, I documented blood stains that were located within the garage on that vehicle and then on a Suburban, another vehicle that was part of that case.
Did you conduct your analysis or reconstruction that day on the 25th?
In terms of documentation, yes, the reconstruction piece was done on the 27th of May.
Why a different day?
At that time, the crime scene unit had been at that scene since the early morning hours of the 25th. So they worked through the night. And by the time we cleared on the 25th was approximately 5:30 p.m. So they had been up all night and all day. So the decision was made to return on the 27th in order to continue processing, to put them back on a sleep cycle that was conducive to efficiency and work.
Did you return to 69 Wells on 5/27?
Yes, ma'am.
And who was with you when you returned?
At the scene that day were detectives Riley, Pearson, LaPriori, Hazen, Keppel, Downs, McGavin, and Clabby.
And Jamie Pearson, what was her role?
Detective Pearson had been assigned to do the sketch map of the scene.
Does the sketch map assist you in your analysis?
Some of the measurements do, or assistance with the measurements that I need to take are part of that process, yes.
Now, did you write a report of your analysis or your findings?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you review any documentation prior to, actually, strike that if I may, just have one moment. Did you personally examine, or what did you personally examine prior to writing your report?
Your Honor, I'd just like to have a, before the answer, if I could just have
yes, if I can, Your Honor, I just want to. Sir, if I can, Your Honor, just with respect to only what you personally observed on at a scene, can you please describe to the jury what you physically examined? I'm sorry, it's a really bad question. Let me put it this way. When you're at 69 Wells Lane on 527, what did you look at?
I looked at the interior of the garage, the Range Rover that was in the garage.
Now, did you also look at a Chevy Suburban?
Yes, ma'am.
Where were you when you looked at this Chevy Suburban?
At the New Canaan Police Department on the 27th.
And with respect to the Range Rover that was in the garage, did you examine that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And where were you when you examined that?
At the 69 Wells.
And did you review photographs that were perhaps made by other people involved in this case in your analysis?
Yes.
Okay. And based on your findings and your review of that documentation, did you write a report?
Yes.
Okay. If I may, Your Honor.
Yes.
You may, Your Honor, we're going to try to do that.
Yes.
May approach the okay. If I may, Your Honor.
Yes.
If I may just approach the clerk. May I approach the witness?
Yes.
Sir, I'm going to show you what's been marked as States 30
Do you recognize that document? If I may, please don't read from it at this time. If you can, I can just ask you some questions about it.
If you can, you can read from it, not out loud. Do you recognize that document, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
And with respect to, if I may just refer to briefly, Your Honor?
Yes.
With respect to the title, if I may,
if it's okay, if I can direct your attention to this particular area, with, what is the title of your report, please? Think about that.
Blood stain pattern analysis.
Thank you. Now, Your Honor, the state will be filing a corrected version of that. I'm offering it as for it in its entirety today. However, there are two lines that just need to be redacted for agreement with counsel. I am giving it to counsel for the witness now for use for the testimony to avoid wasting time. I would offer it in its redacted form. I would leave that as ID for now.
And as long as I see that copy, then I have no problem with the procedure that the state is proposing.
What's the number?
30.
States 30 will be admitted as a full exhibit subject to the redaction.
Thank you, Your Honor. And if I could just, I have not spoken to the witness regarding those redactions, so if I could just have some leeway with leading him through that when it comes to that part. Thank you. Sir, is that a copy of your report?
Yes.
Thank you. And specifically on the last page, sir, if you can go to that last page, did you add a supplement to that report as well?
I did.
Okay. And is that your supplement on that report as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Could I have a moment with counsel?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much, sir. If I may take it back. With respect to the analysis that you completed for 69 wells, sir, I actually just have a couple of questions with you. With respect to a blood BPA, are there different types of, well, I'll draw that. What's an altered stain?
An altered stain is a blood stain with characteristics that indicate a physical change has occurred to it after deposition.
And are there different types of altered stains?
There are a few different types, yes.
Okay. What are some types of altered stains?
A type of altered stain is by definition and title called a wipe. So a wipe is an altered stain with characteristics that indicate a change has occurred to it, meaning that an object has moved through blood that has been deposited on the surface.
And that's called a wipe?
It's a wipe.
Okay. Is there another type of altered stain?
Another altered stain is a perimeter stain, which is a blood stain that consists of just its edge characteristics. The central part either having been wholly or partially removed. So there's some change to that blood stain, which can result from a number of different circumstances.
What about a swipe?
A swipe is a blood stain that results from contact between a blood-bearing surface and another surface with indications of relative motion between the surfaces.
And a transfer stain?
A transfer stain is a blood stain that results from the transfer of blood between surfaces.
Now, you had an opportunity to personally review the garage at 69 Wells, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And were you aware of the grid pattern sketch map that Sergeant Pearson put together?
Yes.
Okay. And have you examined that and reviewed that as part of your analysis and report writing?
Yes.
Okay. With respect to areas A, B, and C, do you recall that that's on the the, I guess, left side of the garage?
Left side of the garage.
In that area, A, B, and C, did you find any altered stains?
Yes, in areas A and B.
Okay. At this time, Your Honor, State would offer States 31. I'm not sure if there's an objection.
Is that the disc?
Yes.
No objection.
Okay. States 31 will be admitted as a full exhibit.
Thank you. Sir, I'm going to ask you to draw your attention to the screen behind you. May I just inquire of the court and the parties if other TVs are on? In States 31, File 1, by Cancer, I'm just going to ask you some questions if you can. Picture 1. When you said A, B, in areas A and B, is an area A depicted in that photograph?
Yes.
Is that the area that you're talking about?
Area A, yes.
Thank you. And photograph 2, did you find any altered stains in this area or depicted in that photograph?
There were altered stains or swipes located in the left portion of area A as we're looking at this picture, left central for the record.
Okay. I'm going to show you picture 3. Can you describe what's on picture 3, please?
So in picture 3, relative to the central part of the picture, the red portion of the stain that is on the surface, this blood-like stain, is characteristic of a swipe mark, which the characteristics there are relevant to movement between the blood source and the surface, striations within the stain, sometimes diminished volume, and sometimes an edge, a trailing or leading edge that is feathered in some way.
And picture 4, sir, you mentioned area B as well. Is that contained in picture 4?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And picture 5, what is that a picture of, sir?
This is a closer up picture of the central, central southern portion of area B. Within this portion is a blood-like stain that has swipe characteristics, again, lighter in color, striations located throughout the stain, and some other movement relative to the floor of the garage in the center right-hand portion of the picture.
Would you mind, sir, Your Honor, may I ask him to go up to the screen, please, and point out to what he's talking about? And I'm going to scroll into this as I can. Can you just explain and perhaps point out on the photograph what you're talking about when you say?
You can go to the screen, thanks.
So I'm referencing this area here in terms of discoloration with indications of movement going from top right to bottom left of the screen. Direction is not implied. There are striations located within the stain, meaning lines or essentially parallel lines, which is another indication of movement.
Thank you, sir. And just briefly, going back to the picture 4, where was that contained in this photograph or that position?
That is near this L bracket right here.
Which would be the upper right corner of the photograph?
So about central, slightly to the right.
Central to the right. Thank you, sir. Okay. Now, with respect to picture 6, is that a similar picture to what we just went through?
This is the same.
Okay.
Same area, different orientation of the picture.
Okay. And area C, sir, did you find any altered stains in C?
Not that had characteristics related to the blood.
Okay. And with respect to this picture, did you find any altered stains on that is depicted in picture 8?
Not altered, but a transfer stain was located on the garage door in picture 8.
Okay. Picture 9, sir, when you say transfer stain, would you mind getting up and perhaps explaining what you mean?
This is a closer-up picture of the second panel of the garage door on the left-hand side from the photograph we just looked at. There's a light reddish discoloration here and here. Within this stain, there's no indications of movement on that surface, which would be a transfer characteristic. In other words, a bloodstained surface contacted this area and then was removed. This top stain has slight characteristics of a swipe mark, particularly the top right portion of this picture has a feathered edge, which is some indication of movement relative to this stain here.
Thank you, sir. Now, with respect to area G, did you also examine that area?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And did you examine area G when the Range Rover was in the garage?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever examine area G when the Range Rover was removed?
No.
Okay. Did you review the area G with the Range Rover removed through any photographs or any other documentation done by other officers?
Yes.
And what was that documentation, by the way?
That was photographs.
Okay. Now, in area G, did you find any altered stains?
Yes, there was an altered wipe-swipe stain in area G.
Okay. What is a spatter stain?
A spatter stain is a blood stain that results from an airborne blood droplet that is created when external force is applied to liquid blood. So while that definition tells you what it is, kind of through analysis here, we analyze or characterize or classify based on characteristics. So a spatter stain typically is circular or elliptical in shape, and usually smaller, but it doesn't have to be small.
Okay. And do you utilize spatter stains in your analysis or your reconstruction?
There were spatter stains in the scene, so I did utilize them.
Okay. With respect to area G, actually, if you take a look, this is file 2 on states 31, picture 1. I'm going to draw your attention and scroll up a little, sir. Do you see down here with the pink arrow with the white marker? And my cursor's on. What is that?
So that's an altered stain that contains wipes and swipes in area G. It's approximately adjacent to the rear passenger, left rear passenger door of the
Land Rover. Could you just go up and explain or maybe show where the wipe and where swipe is and maybe just explain a little bit about what the difference is?
So just within this pattern, we see a darker area here. There's some longitudinal lines running, let's say left to right across this picture. Then we have indications of movement running top to bottom on this picture. A solid blood stain here that tapers off. Stains here that have essentially a void in them, which just indicates movement. Up and down and then back and forth, essentially here, relative to this picture. There's also some diagonal striations or indications of movement from the top left to the bottom right, not implying direction of which it's moving, just for reference for the picture. Sometimes, at least in literature, this may be called a smear, where there's multiple direction alteration to a blood stain.
Thank you, sir. And what about drip stains?
Drip stains result from a blood drop that accumulated and fell due to gravity. So there's no other force acting on a drip stain other than gravity.
Did you find any drip stains in area G?
There was one drip stain that was presumptive positive for blood in area G.
And I'm going to show you picture three, sir. Do you recognize what's on that photograph?
Yes.
What is that?
That's a photograph. If we're facing the into the garage or facing the house to the right of the stairs, there are four circular stains there, characteristic of drips on the concrete to the right of the stairs as we're looking at the picture.
I'll draw your attention to photo four. If you could just describe that, sir.
That's a drip stain that consists of its perimeter characteristics. So the central part of that stain has been removed. So the perimeter we can see is relatively circular, meaning that the drop fell due to gravity and impacted the ground. The size of that drop in this is approximately 8 to 10 millimeters, which is average size for a drip stain. But in this case, we just have essentially a perimeter stain where the central part has been removed.
How does a perimeter stain happen?
Perimeter stain can result from a drying artifact. Blood dries essentially from the outside in, so the perimeters remain the central part. Becomes flaky and can be removed easily, or it could be that was a wet blood stain that had partially dried, leaving the perimeter characteristics, and something removed the central portion from it.
Now, you said you weren't there for when the vehicle was removed, but did you examine the photographs afterwards?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I'm going to draw your attention to this group down here, if you could see my cursor, and one up on the upper right. And
could we just clarify which vehicle we're talking about?
Oh, the Range Rover. I'm sorry. Yeah. Is this the middle bay, sir, when the Range Rover was removed?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. And I'm going to go to picture six. And did you examine this photograph, sir? As
yeah.
part of your analysis?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, could you describe what these markings are? If I can go to picture seven. Do you see the label on picture six? I'm sorry, is this GE1, GE2, and so forth?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. Now picture seven, GE1, right above GE1. Could you describe that, please, to the jury?
Yes. So what's depicted there is a blood-like spatter stain. The characteristic of the stain, we can see it has an elliptical shape. This stain is very long and thin, so it has a long axis and a short width. We can also observe in this stain, Your Honor, is it okay?
It's better if you approach the screen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So in relation to this picture, this stain is left to right. We have an elliptical shape, very long and thin. This stain is approximately a millimeter in width. We measure blood stains, or particularly elliptical stains, just according to width, in terms of reference. It's a millimeter, that's about the width of a dime, just for reference. A long axis that's long and thin, and then to the right side of the stain, we have a thinning portion, which essentially we refer to as a tail, and then there's a small blood stain that has detached from this tail that's located further to the right. So based on the characteristics that this is a elliptical stain, which is small in size, that's characteristic of a spatter stain. So blood that's been put into flight by an external force that landed on this surface here. We can tell the direction that this stain was deposited based on the edge characteristics of the essentially the tail of the stain or the trailing edge. Where we have a tail, particularly on this one, this indicates that the spatter stain was traveling, in this case, from the left of the picture towards the right-hand side of the picture. Sometimes with other spatter stains, you would have trailing edge disruptions that were like a scalloped shape, like the edge of a scallop shell, or small spines that come off the end. So that's really a result of blood impacting the surface, adhering to the surface, inertia carrying the blood drop forward in the direction that it was traveling in, and then surface tension arresting the blood drop as it lost inertia, which causes the disruptions and the characteristics that are on the trailing edge of the stain. So when we look at this, we know that it came from this picture from the left to the right.
Thank you, sir. Your Honor, it is 1 o'clock. Do you wish to?
We are going to stand in our lunch and recess, and lunch and recess will be a little longer than usual. The marshals will discuss with the jury the new parking arrangements that have been made. So what we plan to do is take our lunch and recess at this time. We are not going to resume until 2:20. So please retire to the deliberation room, and please do not discuss the case.
All right. Then I'm going to record after the However, there was an agreement to redact a few words off of it. So we did redact that during the lunch break, so that is page 32. If 30 on the record was moved as full, could we make that ID and 32 be full?
I mean, I will not object to, for the record, of just replacing
or we could do
the
that.
One subject to with the new one, so we don't have to worry about it accidentally. You know, it's a very long report, which I'm not objecting to. It's, for the record, it's, gosh, it's 32 pages. So I have no objection. They want to take back the one that's just, because if it accidentally goes in, it might be a problem. So,
right now, the redacted number is which?
32.
So 32 will go in as full. The court is trying to determine whether the record is cleaner and just leaving 30 in as it is or designating it as ID.
If we could designate it as ID just to keep it separate and ensure that it is, I would ask to do that.
So States 30, ID exhibit. Is there anything else before we start?
Not with this witness. Before the next couple of witnesses, I want to be heard briefly about where we're going to go with the questions, because I'm going to have an objection
I think, based on what I was told, where
perhaps
they want to go with it.
Perhaps we can finish with Mr. Davison and do this so we can close the
program. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. We can bring the jury back in, please.
Next one.
Would counsel stipulate, please?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes.
Thank you. We can bring the witness back in.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You may be seated, Colonel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good afternoon.
May inquire.
Thank you, Your Honor. I apologize. Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Lieutenant Colonel. How are you?
Good, ma'am. Thank you.
And we left off before the lunch break with file 2, picture 7. I'm just going to go back one, or actually a couple. Picture 5. With respect to the marking that you went over before the break, the DE1, where is that located on the screen, if you can, on picture 5? If you wouldn't mind getting up, sir. That's fine.
That's within GE1, is within this group here, or the top of the picture.
And I'm going to scroll up. Do you see those markings, the white up here on the upper right-hand part of the screen? Is that true? Is that where you're pointing to?
Yes, the white rectangle.
Okay, thank you. Now, I'm going to show you state picture 8 out of that same folder. Do you recognize this?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and where is this? I believe it's GW. And where is the GW in that marking?
The GW group is located here, which is the mid-lower center of this photograph.
And that's picture 5. Thank you. And with respect to the GW, I'm going to show you picture 9. If you can, just explain what that picture depicts.
So this photograph depicts an elliptically shaped stain, which we previously defined as a spatter stain because of its shape. This stain's a little bit wider in width, and again, in terms of characteristics, has a tail, which would indicate the trailing edge of the stain, leading edge being up here. So this characteristic tells us that in this photograph, this stain was traveling in a direction from the upper portion of the photograph down towards the lower right portion of the photograph.
Sorry, I'm going to actually reference that and go back to states 5. When you say that the stain was coming from a direction, is that direction, or could you point out that direction on picture 5?
So in this picture, from the previous two, we looked at the white rectangles are aligned with the long axis of the stain. So in this photograph, these white rectangles are aligned with the long axis of the stain. In the GW that we just looked at, that stain was traveling, the directionality indicated was traveling from the top left of the picture towards the bottom right. So from left to right and towards us relative to this picture in the garage.
And with respect to the GE picture that we went through,
So again, similarly, GE is located in this photograph towards the upper central. The white rectangle scales were placed approximately along the long axis of those stains, and the characteristics of this stain indicate it was coming from the left portion of the picture toward the right portion of the picture.
Thank you, sir. Now, you can have a seat. Thank you. With respect to, is there a certain methodology that you use in your BPA or blood stain pattern analysis to determine something called an area of convergence?
Yes, there is a methodology relative to a reconstruction of certain types of patterns, specifically an impact pattern, which includes a reconstruction of an area of convergence.
What is an area of convergence?
So simply put, an area of convergence, we just saw blood stains that impacted a surface. We saw blood stains that had directionality coming from one portion of the scene to the other. An area of convergence is lines, or essentially the two-dimensional flight paths of those drops that are essentially drawn back, and they intersect in an area of space, which would indicate in the plane that the blood stains exist where the blood source was located. So the convergence is the space that contains the intersection of the directionalities of those blood stains.
And when you're talking about the plane or the two-dimensional plane here, what area are you talking about in this case?
The floor of the garage.
Okay. Now, with respect to determining that area of convergence, were there specific stains that you used throughout the garage?
Specifically, the left side of the garage were the stains that were utilized.
How many would they be called spatter stains? Is that the appropriate terminology?
Spatter, yes.
How many spatter stains were found in the left side of the garage in total?
A minimum of 26 stains were located on the left side of the garage.
And how many did you utilize in the course of your reconstruction?
There were seven stains that were selected and utilized for that portion of the reconstruction.
Why seven?
The part of the methodology relative to a reconstruction regarding an impact pattern or area of origin relates to certain circumstances, which starts with stain selection. So we want to choose well-formed elliptical stains as part of the initial process of the reconstruction. Further, we want a representative sample from the distribution of those stains to get the best spread or the best diversification relative to the directionality that they traveled. So just to maybe make this a little bit clearer, we're talking about an impact pattern, which is a blood stain pattern that results from an object striking a source of liquid blood. So when that happens, blood is dispersed from an area source. Because blood's a liquid, it's non-compressible. The energy of the impact essentially causes the blood drops to break up and disperse. So they travel out in a radiating distribution that is, and the blood drops are traveling on a flight path that's essentially a parabolic arc, concave downward. So it's that mechanism and those characteristics that we're looking for and then further examining to reconstruct that area of origin.
So with respect to area A, how many spots did you utilize in your reconstruction?
Two stains were used from area A.
And just briefly, file, I believe, three, picture one. Where were those stains, or is the area that you took those stains depicted in that photograph? Your Honor, yes. If you could just go on up and point, thank you.
I need to read the labels, but
yeah, I can scroll in.
The top stain in this picture,
as it was zoomed in on, was one of the stains you got.
Is that a better picture? This is picture two?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and out of the three stains marked A16, A17, and A18, which one, if any, did you use?
A18 was utilized in the reconstruction.
And did you use another stain in area A?
Yes.
Okay. And which stain did you use in that one? Here, I can show you picture four. Is it out of A12, A13, A14, or A15? Did you utilize any of those?
The top right, A15 was utilized.
Okay. Now, if I can scroll. With respect to A15, when you say, why did you choose that stain, by the way?
This stain has well-defined edges. It's clearly elliptical in shape and has an evident directionality.
And what is the directionality?
Relative to this stain, it is traveling from the bottom left of the picture towards the top right, or top left, excuse me.
Okay. And that's fine. In area B, how many stains did you utilize?
Two were utilized from area B.
Do you recall which ones those were? Here, I can scroll up. We have B9, B10, and B11, this picture seven. May I inquire if any of those you utilized in your analysis?
B11 was utilized.
Okay. And why did you utilize B11?
Same reasons as the previous one, A15, elliptical stain, evident directionality, and representative of the sectors of dispersion.
What is the directionality?
This stain is moving from, the directionality is from the lower right of the picture towards the upper left.
And picture nine, did you utilize that stain, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
And that is B3, exhibit 38?
Yes, ma'am.
Why did you utilize that picture, that stain?
Same reasons as before. The characteristics relative to it, and this stain is in a different portion of area B. So the directionality here is traveling from the upper right of the picture towards the bottom left. So again, this is choosing stains that are a representative sample of the dispersion that we saw, or I saw on the floor of the garage.
Now, you said it was in a different area of B. I'm going to go back, if I can, to picture six. What area did you mean by that?
There's more to come at the Michelle Troconis trial in the Jennifer Farber Dulos case. The mystery deepens and justice seeks its course. Press subscribe now and stay tuned for more episodes unraveling the truths behind the most perplexing criminal cases from true crime today.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.